Time now for Picking with the Pickers.
$50
the Smales Kid picks his nose.
Featuring Vince Gill, Steve Cropper, and all their famous friends. They're joining Greg Pogue and Big Joe as they pick their picks and tell their stories. From college to the NFL, Picking with the Pickers is presented by Landmark Bank and Pickers Vodka. You never know what you're going to get when you're picking with the Pickers.
Friday morning to you. How are you doing? Hope you're having a good start to what turns out to be a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Greg Pogue, Big Joe Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. We got Crazy Charlie back in the David Price IMAX Center Studios. Got Jason Hall.
Jason Hall, rock y'all, brothers.
He's like Pavlov's dog on that one. Jason Hall here and Adam Johnson. We're gonna do a bit of a flip. We usually do our Picking with the Pickers segment presented by Pickers Vodka, Landmark Bank, the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to flip everything around. Like
do
best
it.
Worst, going to be a 10:40. You know why? Because sitting right across from us is one of the grooviest people in the, at this table.
You're right.
He I bet you've never been the grooviest. Among this three, you are the grooviest.
Well, you know, I did go to high school in the 70s, and groovy was the big word then, you know. And I say it now, my kids look at me like I have 12 heads. So
yeah. That voice right there is Scott Hamilton, Olympic gold medalist, NBC commentator, and the third annual thing. It's a big thing. You dang straight it is. Third annual Scott Hamilton and Friends, the Nashville Ice Show. They've even have the word event in the title. So it is an event. Hey, Scott, thanks for coming down to the Southern.
Oh, man, thanks for helping me promote this. This is the big show this year. It's gigantic, you know. Yeah. Great music. When you invite the skating cast, there's a couple that, you know, it's just like, I'll toss a line out there, you know. I mean, worst thing that can happen is no.
Yeah, right.
And I'd love to be there, you know. So when I, you know, the dance team that won the gold medal and they led the Canadian team to the gold medal in the team competition, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, it's like, you know, they're building a tour in Canada and they're busy and they're running and they're working and they're doing. I got to invite him because social media was blowing up. Who'd you like to see in Nashville? Tessa and Scott. So I go, I'll invite him. So the message I got back from Scott Moyer is, I go, let me see if I got this straight. Scott wants me to come to Nashville, watch hockey games, listen to great music, skate for a cause I truly believe in, and hang out with him for 4 days? Absolutely. And I was like, really? And so now we've got people flying in from all over North America to see this show because this is the only time they're performing in the United States this year.
Whoa.
So it's a big deal. Plus, I got Meryl and Charlie coming back, who won the gold medal in Sochi for the United States in ice dancing. The cast is just, I want everybody's autograph. You know, it's like, I've been around this sport a long time. This is the best cast I've ever been able to put together. So the skating side of the show is great.
Right.
Then you got to look on the music side of the show, which is Sheryl Crow, Florida Georgia Line, Brothers Osborne, Tommy Shaw doing a couple stick songs,
wow.
Bart Miller, the legendary Steve Cropper. So last year we were going to do Knock on Wood in the show, and we decided to do Soul Man instead, you know, because every artist has a few songs.
Yeah.
And so Knock on Wood is going to be in the show this year, right?
All right.
So we go, well, you want Bart to sing Knock on Wood? And he goes, why not have Eddie Floyd? Right, Eddie Floyd was the original singer on Knock on Wood.
Right, of course, Flo and Eddie fame.
Right. Yeah. No, Eddie Floyd. So it's like Eddie Floyd. Wait a minute. Yeah, he's 82. He lives in Montgomery, Alabama. His son's going to drive him up. So Eddie Floyd is going to sing Knock on Wood. So it's like, are you kidding me? And then Chelsea Field is an up-and-coming artist who's going to join us as well. And it's just, top to bottom. I mean, it's there's a lot of show packed into the show. And I'm just in awe that we were able to pull this thing off.
You know, with Knock on Wood, you don't have to pay Steve Cropper any royalties because that's his song.
He wrote it. Yeah. So.
Is it humbling, though? I mean, look, you just named all these people who were coming here because of you.
Well,
it humbling?
It's me and it's cancer. You know, we've got to, this issue with cancer has now become just so overwhelming and gigantic that, you know, we've got to do something now. And, You know, I've been working in the cancer space since I lost my mother 40 years ago. I was a fundraiser, and then I survived cancer and became an activist. So I think a lot of people really want to come, and this is a unique opportunity to do something spectacular,
right,
while at the same time raising money for, you know, much-needed cancer research. So the science is there to change cancer and the way it's treated forever, where we can teach our own immune systems how to,
sure,
fight the cancer internally. Our bodies created the cancer. Why can't our bodies destroy it? It's like it needs to learn how to destroy it. So the science now is, you know, back in the 70s when Nixon declared war on cancer, it was like the money pushed the science. You know, the more money invested, the more we can learn. Now the science is a light year ahead of the funding, and we need to close the gap. And once we close the gap, you know, we've changed it from being, you know, something that's really tough to treat,
right,
to something that is like, well, here, you know, we're going to give you this. Your, you know, T cells are going to be trained to recognize the cancer, and then it's game over.
Last week, I had three people that I know within 24 hours died of cancer. My best friend's mom died. Mm-hmm. So I went on Twitter last week, Scott, and I was like, I we're not going to win. I don't hear success stories. So I tweeted it out. And within 15 minutes, people started tweeting me success stories. So I spent 48 hours retweeting success stories, and it was eye-opening. The people that are fighting this, who have overcome this, people who are still fighting. So what you're doing on Sunday is immeasurable. I mean, you can't be thanked enough for all that, because there are people still fighting. People are still winning. You won your battle, and it's just reassuring to know people are winning this battle.
Well, and, you know, again, one in two men will be diagnosed with cancer in this country. One in three women,
wow,
will be diagnosed with cancer in this country. One in four diagnosed will lose their battle. So three out of four. I mean, that's, you know, it's good news, but why not four out of four?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm going for. And we're building CARES. It started as an initiative at the Cleveland Clinic. We did phenomenal stuff there. And then 4 years ago, I went to the CEO and I said, I need to grow. I really want to grow this foundation. Can I just take the brand and become a dedicated foundation? He goes, you've done a lot for us. I raised a lot of money for the Cleveland Clinic. We funded over 50 research programs there. We did chemocare.com, which is a website that teaches everybody everything they need to know about chemotherapy in 8th grade English and Spanish, and with Google Translate any language in the world. And we set up a mentorship program where we paired newly diagnosed patients with survivors to work as role models and mentors. So I did my work there. Now we're all about uplifting cancer treatment options that treat the cancer and spare the patient harm, which is kind of counter to the whole industry right now, because,
yeah,
you know, traditional radiation and chemo, you know, they're tough. But if that's the best we can do right now, that's the best we can do. I'm here because of chemotherapy. I can't wait to get rid of it. I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm just telling you there's a better way.
Wow.
We just need to find it. And the only way to find that is research. And we're a collaborative organization. We do a lot of things with V Foundation, which I love because their science is great. They have broad reach. We really want to collaborate with everybody to help, you know, with the rising tide, all boats are lifted.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of we realize that we can be a really good citizen in the cancer community by really picking the right things. Like last year, due to the success of the event, we were able to help the V Foundation. We partnered with the V Foundation in funding a pediatric immunotherapy research project for medulloblastoma. Right, a brain cancer, and they—it's had remarable results in their tests and everything. So they tried it on glioblastoma, and it had the same type of results. So we know we're onto something, because those are cancers that are just almost impossible,
yeah,
to treat. And so we're going to go after the tough stuff. Why not? You know, I mean, I'm illogical. Why not do something
right,
bold, right? You know,
well, like, that's apparently so, since you're here with us this morning. That was too easy. Scott Hamilton is our guest, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Pickers Vodka, Landmark Bank here at the Southern Steak and Oyster. the CARES Foundation. Of course, that's what you've been talking about. I want to bring it all full circle. Founded in October of 2014, and then here in 4+ years, you just how the expansion of it went from just a fundraiser to an all-encompassing type of foundation. I don't know there's many like that in the world. Usually it's, hey, we go get the money, you guys go take care of it. Mm-hmm. You're right in the middle with everything.
Well, you know, it's we've done a lot of, you know, as under the CARES brand, you know, again, going back, we've done a lot of work, and now our focus is purely on one thing, and that's it's changing the way people are treated for cancer. And a lot of the cancer foundations are specific, you know, whether it be Susan G. Komen for breast cancer, Livestrong for testicular cancer, CapCure for prostate cancer. We're really all about treatment. Changing the way people are treated for cancer. We're, our offices are located in the new Proton Center in Franklin, the Proton Therapy Center. It's a remarkable form of treatment, radiation, where it's very centrally located. It doesn't, like normal radiation, you know, goes, releases its energy on the cancer and then goes in and continues on through the body until it runs out of energy. Well, proton therapy is a particle, so it treats the cancer differently and much more precisely. And so that's also under our, you know, kind of philosophy of treat the cancer, spare the patient harm. So we just need all hands on deck. We need the entire community to get behind us and come to this event, fill it up, help us raise money. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to invest in the right research to save lives that couldn't be saved before.
When you first got the note you were had cancer, I've talked to people who had cancer. They said that just wrecked their world. What was your reaction?
You know, it's really funny because I talked to a lot of people about this. It the fear is overwhelming. You're just completely enveloped and just smothered in fear. I don't know if it's 5 minutes, 5 seconds, or a nanosecond. All of a sudden, that fear flips into a sense of power, courage, ready for battle. Let me get to this right. No, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going to win. I'm going to fight this thing. And in that way, you know, part of you wakes up that, you know, maybe kind of dormant. You know,
right.
you don't know what you're capable of until you've been, you know, your back's up against the wall. And so I feel like almost richer for the experience. It's like now I know what I can do. I you know, it's like, I remember I was afraid of shots, and now I'm giving them to myself. You know, it's like, okay, you know, if you live long enough, all questions will be answered. And you know, for me, it's just I was so scared when I just thought, oh, I'm going to diminish. I'm going to become what I watched my mother go through when she lost her battle to cancer. And the fear was extraordinary. And then all of a sudden, it was like, you know what? No. I'm going to fight this thing with everything I've got. And I became a full, you know, it was full participation from there on. It's like, you want me to do chemo? Great, I'll do chemo. What is it? I have no idea what it is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I did it. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm really good at this, you know, because I don't feel good. But then I realized that, you know, the more I kind of learned, the more I participated, the more I was open to new information, the more I realized I can endure this. Like, I wanted to quit at round three.
Yeah.
And my best friend said, how many rounds you got left? And I was like, well, you know, 5 days left. You know, they're 8-hour infusions, but I got 5 days left. I can do that. 5 days? Yeah, 5 days. I can do that.
I just had my best friend go through it this past winter and everything.
Sorry.
So I saw, well, he's came out the backside good. That's the point. When Joe asked you, what was your initial reaction to the when you got the diagnosis, I thought in my mind, which time is he talking about?
Yeah.
1997?
Yeah. I have a hobby of collecting life-threatening illness.
The initial 1997. Testicular, brain, 2004, again in 2010, and again in 2016. So I'd be remiss not to ask, how you doing, man?
I'm here.
Yeah.
And, you know, so much of this is, you know, your greatest fear sometimes becomes the devil you know instead of the devil you don't know. So, you know, can't cancer was, you know, I was really scared, and then I woke up. And then first brain tumor, I was really scared, and then my wife grabbed both of my hands when I told her, and she started to pray, and I realized I knew exactly where I was going to take everything for the rest of my days. And it was a powerful experience. 2010, we just felt like we got kicked in the gut. It's like, really? I have to do this again? Surgery didn't go as planned. Complications. It took me a while to sort all that stuff out. And then 2016, it came back. And this time it's like, all right, so I survived 97, 2004, and 2010. Still here. So 2016, I heard this thing in my head just say, get strong. Just get strong. Don't worry about anything. Just get strong. And I didn't know if that was physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So I just decided to get strong in every way possible. And the tumor, the next two scans shrunk without explanation. No one could figure out how it was shrinking. And so the last scan, it showed some, you know, return to its normal or original size when they detected it. But, you know, I'm not going to pull the trigger on treatment until I have to. And in the meantime, I'm going to do everything I can not to give this tumor anything it wants. You know, tumors love sugar. You know, so I kind of stopped all the carbs, stopped all the sugar. I do a lot of high pH water. You know, I don't know if any of that works, but I, you know, I'm doing my part to not give this tumor anything it wants and, you know, just live my life.
I just, your faith is, and we're going to get to it later on about your skating academy. There's a story I was told by the sweet lady who runs the academy. We did a curling segment together down there.
She's
fantastic, yeah. Scott. She's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And she told me a story. I'll get to it later on about faith and how you, when I look at you, I think of nothing but faith. And it's a great story that she told us.
So I can't wait to hear it.
Yes.
Me too.
This is just for me and Scott.
Well,
you,
can I listen? I need to go out to the car and
you
listen.
Do that, yes.
Okay, download the app. I've got the app on my phone.
Right. All right.
Yeah, Skating Academy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Boy, we went from zero to the number 8 learn to skate in the United States.
I'll just tell it now.
In 4 years.
She said that when you brought her here, correct?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Paula Trujillo.
Yeah, she's beautiful. And that after the first year, they... 5-6 kids or something?
Well, our first Learn to Skate, we had 4 skaters registered.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we weren't open yet, right?
Right?
We didn't even have a ribbon cutting, and we're already selling Learn to Skate. So 4 people came, and it was like, oh, this is great. 4 people. What are we going to do? It's like crickets. Over here.
And she said you told her, just keep the faith. It's going to work. And she said he was so passionate about this that I couldn't leave. Yeah. And then you look at it now, and it's just...
Now she's looking for the door. It's like, well, how can I manage all this? And then we're going to go to Bellevue and open up there, and it's like, oh, my word. How are we going to... Now we're, like, really pregnant. And then, you know, I'm bringing in... you know, we've been recruiting an Olympic-level coach to come in and take all those skaters from Learn to Skate and give them an elite program to get into. So who knows? You know, I told the Nashville Sports Commission when I kept begging them, we need more ice. We need more ice. We need more. We need ice in Williamson County. We need ice, you know, north of Nashville as well. We need surfaces here. But, you know, when you, I told them, I said, you know, we need more ice. We need more ice. We have 1,247 skaters in our Learn to Skate in Antioch, right? So, okay, even if you never picked up a dart in your life, and you're throwing darts at dartboards, right? And if I gave you 1,247 throws, you're probably going to hit the bullseye more than once. That's what that's what we have right now. And so we're going to take it into an elite, we're going to build an elite program. And it's really cool and really edgy and not edgy, but it's really cool and really kind of taking it to the next level of how to develop talent, how to recognize it, how to manage it, and how to really just reinvent the way you build elite athletes. We're doing that here, and it's remarkable.
It is.
And so, you know, hey, I'm a volunteer. That's the coolest thing. It's like I won't take a penny out of CARES ever. I'll never, you know, since day one, I've never, ever. I don't want anything. I just want to make sure we raise money and put it towards cancer. Same with the Skating Academy. You know, we've got this thing where, you know, building this thing, and it's like I'm a volunteer because if I'm a volunteer, here's the greatest thing. I can't get fired.
You don't have to pay taxes.
No, either. It's like, I can come and go and do what I want and just sort of build this thing.
You talk about, obviously, you've got the now no longer an infant but a small child in Antioch. You said you were pregnant in Bellevue. Yeah. I just let you know Sean Henry's out dating again. Yeah. He's dating in Hendersonville and Clarksville and everything. So
saying. Yeah, no, it's like
they know what they found out what causes these things.
Williamson County is a boondoggle.
Yeah.
If they build what I know we could build there, it'll change everything for this community. It really will. So I'm putting pressure on Williamson County leadership right now.
All right.
Get this thing done. You got everything in place. Get it done because it'll be phenomenal.
Greg Pug, Big Joe Show here at the Southern Steak and Oyster. We're presented by Omni Nashville Hotel Pickers, Picking with the Pickers Vodka segment. Picking with the Pickers. Presented by Pickers Vodka. There's a lot of P's there for this Pogue. But anyway, and we're talking with Scott Hamilton, the third annual Scott Hamilton and Friends Nashville Ice Show this coming Sunday, 5 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful event. More with Scott when we come back right here, Nashville Sports Radio.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show, 615-844-5600.
Presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie's back in the David Price IMAX Center studios. Jason Hall, producing right here.
Rock, y'all.
Uh-huh. Adam Johnson, Big Joe, Greg Polk, and our guest on Picking with the Pickers, presented by Pickers. Slow down right there. I'm excited.
I know you're nervous.
There's
too
many P's.
I know you're here.
Picking with the Pickers, presented by Pickers Vodka and Landmark Bank. And I'm Pogue, and this is Scott Hamilton.
You just call me Hamilton today.
You know what? I will tell you, though. The only Hamilton show I want to see, not the broad, is your show. So when I think Hamilton, I think Scott Hamilton, not the Broadway show.
To see it.
Greg, let it go.
To see it live.
Right.
To see, like, skating on TV is, you know, it's the anchor sport in the Winter Olympics and all that, and it's really great, and I love that. But to see it live is jaw-dropping. Because the power and the speed and the explosive athleticism of these skaters is just... And we have a pair team coming this year, Duhamel and Radford. They won 2 world championships, an Olympic gold in the team event, an Olympic bronze individual event. The stuff they do is just astounding. It's just amazing to see live. So people, you know, it's rare that, you know, we get to have this many great skaters in one event, but it's here in Nashville, and I think we're going to try to make a habit out of this, just bringing the best skaters in the world to Nashville and build our infrastructure and build our foundation to make sure that we're investing in the right research, and it's pretty cool. So yeah. I hope people come down. There's a lot of great seats. I mean, a million great seats still available for this thing. We're trying to sell this show as many seats as we can, as much money as we can raise for this. So I hope people, if they don't have any plans, Sunday at 5 p.m., come to Bridgestone Arena and see something you'll never see anywhere else.
You said something then, how the figure skating in the Winter Olympics is always the bell cow. It really is. There's a lot of other things that people get into, obviously. Why do you think it is that figure skating transcends so many demographics, age, all the different things that goes into it? Why is that everybody's gravitated to it?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, Vern Lundquist used to say, alone on the ice, you know? And it's like, you see these young people and they're out there, you know, they're not shrouded in helmets and, you know, they're all individuals. They all have their own approach to their skating. They all have, you know, it's do or die right now. The drama of the figure skating is it's athletics. It's also art and entertainment. And it's, you know, this melodrama that's kind of like you've got all these skaters from all over the world and they're putting their best stuff out there. And then you got these 9 judges plus. It takes like 25 people to, you know, the new scoring system to kind of judge these events. But it's extraordinary drama. You know, and
it's reality TV.
But every athlete every athlete is unique, right?
Yeah.
Because you see them and they're all different and they all have their own approach to their skating and they have their own personalities and their own excellence. Each one's unique. When you watch like an alpine event, everybody's going down the same course, they're shrouded in helmets and, you know, all that stuff. And it's just whoever gets down there first, and it's hard to get emotionally attached to. You get excited by it, but figure skating has that emotional connection too, where somebody can do something. They can come in 12th, and they could be your favorite performance of the night because of the way it touched you. So I'm a huge fan of the sport. I love what's going on with it, you know, and how centers of excellence are popping up all over the world, and, you know, young coaches are now rising to the top, and you've got these skaters doing things that nobody's ever done before, like Nathan Chen and some of these Russian girls when they're doing quads. You know, it's just insane what the athleticism and the talent that's being developed around the world, and it truly is a global sport now.
Where is where's your gold medal?
Right now, I'm not sure. No, I gave it away. I couldn't. I just didn't. You know, I talk about it all the time. It lived in a brown paper bag in my underwear drawer for 8 years until I could get rid of it. I just didn't want to acknowledge it, you know, because I pay attention to what's going on around me, and I saw a lot of skaters, a lot of Olympic athletes get stuck in the moment and they couldn't get past it. That's who they were the rest of their lives, no matter what.
Right.
And I had all these plans. You know, my role models weren't athletes. They were musicians. And so I looked at Springsteen. I remember we studied him in high school when he was on the cover of Time and Newsweek. And it's like, how do you do that? Well, you build an audience. How do you build an audience? Well, you show up every night 100%. You give them more than they expect, you know, and you just try to convince them that next year when I come back, I really want to see you here, you know. And for me, it was developing a strategy of I'd go out on the ice and I'd look and I'd see all these men sitting next to their wives and they had their arms crossed. They're checking their watch and they're looking around, making sure that none of their buddies saw them on date night at the ice show. You know, And I said, if I can get those guys on their feet, I can skate for as long as I want, and I can build something strong. So now I'll be in BNA, and a guy will come up to me, and he'll say, hey, are you that skater? And I go, yes, sir. And he goes, I don't watch skating. I'm a big football guy. You know, I don't like that stuff at all. But my wife loves it. Can I introduce you to my wife? And I go, absolutely. So they go and they come back, and they go, honey, look who's here. And she'll look at me like, I have absolutely no idea who that is. And it's like, I win. I got him. You know, so I gave men permission to like figure skating,
right?
Because it's cool. It's athletic. It's fun. It's entertaining. And I, you know, there was no market when I turned pro. You know, the president of Ice Capades told me, and I love this guy. He said, it's a good thing you won the Olympic gold medal because you're too short to be in the chorus line. It's like, okay, welcome to the company. Here we go.
You know, I can't go back to when the initial question that your gold medal was in a brown bag in your underwear drawer, just as long as the bag didn't start out white.
No, definitely not. It was like a lunch bag. Okay. And it was all messed up. And when I gave all my stuff away to the U.S. figure skating, I said, you know, you can have it. I mean, do you have a gold medal on display? And they go, no. And I go, have mine. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. I didn't understand it back then why. I knew that I wanted to go past it, and I didn't want to get stuck in that moment. But it was, you know, honestly, it's just, you know, my faith walk, it would be an idol. And I don't want idols. I don't want idols at all. I want to do is think about, you know, Jesus. That's all I want to think about. So, you know, it's keep going forward. Just keep going forward. Don't look back. Forward. We're going forward.
Right. You know, that's an amazing testimony because if the medal's on display at some place, everybody can see it.
Yeah.
Everybody can see it.
Never saw one until I won one.
Wow.
Ever. I'd say pictures, but I never like saw, like right in front of me, I never saw a medal until I won one. So it was kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, maybe it would be fun for somebody else. And that way I don't have to, like, you know, I have more room in my underwear drawer now.
Well, that was 84. I hope you've changed a few of them.
You've changed
a few of them out.
Yeah, I've upgraded and, you know, kind of switched it all
They didn't
out.
Have boxer briefs back then.
Oh, no, we're all good.
We had you on a few years ago. We asked because I brought up the part about your role in the movie Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
Because it's a great role. It's funny. And you told us you taped that, and there was nobody around.
There was nobody in there. We were at the end. What they did was they showed us kind of like this computer mock-up of what the performances were going to be,
right.
And then they gave us kind of their lines, and then we do alts. you know, all these kind of ad lib alts, you know, right. And then after that, they would put those kind of on camera dialogue things. They put it onto the film, and then we went back and we did two looping sessions where we would watch and they'd come up with new lines to put over the performances just to kind of make it funnier or kind of represent the moment better once they had it completed.
Yeah.
But we're looking at just an empty sheet of ice with nothing. It was at the LA Sports Arena, and it was just, there was nothing. It was just empty, and there was just cameras and lights and directors and crew, and it was really a wild experience, you know, just to do that. But it's still my favorite skating movie ever.
It's so seamless because there's Will Ferrell, he's pointing at you, and you guys, it's like you tell me that story, I'm like, that is amazing. They were able to put all that together, you would never know.
Yeah, I would go, hey, oh yeah, we had a great time together. Don't let facts get in the way of a good, I mean, don't let, what does that say?
That's it.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story. I mean, yeah. You know, so.
But what was funny about that movie was, you know, I my choreographer of 20 years, like from my whole professional career, I had the same choreographer. She choreographed that movie, and she's the one that came up with the Iron Lotus and all that crazy stuff, right? So they go, you got to come and just come to, you know, filming, you know. So I went to the studio where they were doing all the fish house where they had the ice, you know.
Yeah.
That? And I was just there, and there's a lot of dead time between shots and everything. And so I'm just visiting with John Heater and with Will Ferrell and the cast, and I'd played a lot of golf with Craig T. Nelson over the years, you know. So he was there playing the coach, and it was really just, you know, everybody's just waiting to do the thing, and then I'll say, we're ready. And then there's a scene where, you know, Craig T. Nelson's telling everybody, you know, what do you guys have that nobody else has? And, you know, and it's hilarious, his response. But when they were filming it,
right,
they did probably 12 takes, and he had a different response every single time. And the crew was laughing so hard. And I was like, how does he do that? I mean, it's brilliant. He comes up with a different line every single time. And that was kind of like Will Ferrell off set. I mean, off, you know, when he's just behind the camera, he's just this really accessible, easygoing, friendly guy. And then you put a camera on, and it's like, okay, who are you? That just sort of happened. How did that just happen? You know, so he's an awesome guy. And then I was just in Minnesota for one of our Skate to Eliminate Cancer skate-a-thon events. The Minnesota Film Festival was going on, and John Heater and I were on the same, you know, like news program,
right,
like a 5 o'clock news thing. And we're talking through our interviewers back and forth about Blades of Glory and about everything else. So, I mean, it was such a great experience, and I had a blast doing it. And still, to this day, I like Anchorman a lot, but I think Blades of Glory is Will Ferrell's best.
I think it's telling that it's a movie. It didn't make fun of skating, but it was, it laughed at a lot of things, and the fact that you love that movie just because
I love it. What they do is, it's like the movie takes its arm and wraps it around the neck of skating and gives it a little noogie, right? You know, it's just sort of like, here we go. We're gonna laugh at this together, because there's so many ridiculous things that happen in skating that just come out of the nature of it. You know, like a lot of John Heater's costume came out of Johnny Weir's costume, where he named his costume because it was like a goose or something. I don't know, but it was funny. I mean, it was really great, and I don't think Johnny was offended by that at all. I think he understood that it was great inspiration. And one of my favorite moments in the movie is Sasha Cohen, when she catches, I remember, he throws his jock into the stands. I just, like, what in the world? You know, we have Dorothy Hamill and Nancy Kerrigan, Brian Boitano, all this, Peggy Fleming, all this skating royalty in this movie,
right?
And they all just bought into the fact that this is a different planet we are now occupying, and we'll go back to our planet in a minute, but this is fun. This is
well,
really
didn't
fun.
Slapshot do the same thing for hockey?
You know,
I mean, that movie's still talked about.
Yep.
Today is the best hockey movie ever.
I went to when I lived in L.A., my neighbor was Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
He lived a few houses down. You know, and it was really great to know and play golf with Wayne and everything else. So he invited me to his jersey retiring ceremony, where they retired his jersey forever. for every, like, no one will ever be allowed to wear 99 on any team in the NHL, period. And I'm sitting down at this table. It's on the floor at the Staples Center. And I'm sitting down, and I go, this guy looks familiar. I go, I'm Scott. And he introduced himself. And I go, how do I know you? And he goes, I played Killer Carlson and Slapshot. It's like, I wore him out. I was just like, okay, you got to tell me about this. The Hanson brothers and all that. Yeah. And Paul Newman. Paul Newman said that was his favorite movie he ever did.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like, wow. Yep. It was so much fun. But you're right. It just makes fun of hockey a little bit, but in the best way, where it's not like making a fool of the sport. It's just more or less just satirizing.
Yes.
Yes. Scott Hamilton is our guest. Well, we got to pick some games here in a minute. We got to do that right after that, and then we got to obviously come back and talk again and promote about the third annual Scott Hamilton Friends Nashville Ice Show this coming Sunday night, 5 o'clock. And it says till 10:30. We'll figure
out. Well, yeah, it's yeah? 5, about to 6:30. Sometimes we run over on the show.
Sure.
But we do. It's a straight, no intermission show, so because we don't want to lose any momentum, but it's an amazing show with lots of different elements to it. We can talk about that, but it's a night like no other, I tell you that.
Well, the premise of this is to pick some games. We'll get to
that. Great. Awesome. Here in a minute.
Scott Hamilton is our guest, Picking with the Pickers. The segment brought to you by Pickers Vodka, Landmark Bank, with the Southern Steak and Oyster right here, Nashville Sports Radio.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show on Nashville Sports Radio. Tell a friend.
It is. We're presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, the Southern Steak and Oyster, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Pickers Vodka and Landmark Bank. Scott Hamilton is our guest tonight, the third annual Scott Hamilton and Friends Nashville Ice Show this coming Sunday, the third one, as a matter of fact, 5 o'clock. And, I mean, just a who's who of the music world, the skating world, and just wonderful to benefit CARES Foundation, Scott's foundation as well. Now, the premise of all of this is to get you down here and pick some games. That's why we spend an hour talking about everything.
Prognosticate.
Yes. All right. We're going to start in Knoxville. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've been there before a couple times. Missouri is a 6-point favorite tomorrow at Tennessee. We pick them against the spreads. So Missouri and UT, what are you thinking?
Man, UT's been a kind of hot mess for a while. But, Missouri's a really solid football team, I think, even though, I don't know what the record is right now. But, I think Tennessee, I'm going to take them because I'm a homer. Why not?
When we have Vince does this, it has nothing to do with it's where he can sell the most records or where he's been lately.
Yeah.
He wins like 70% of the time. It's remarkable.
It's like going to the horse races and liking that name. So you're going with the Vols, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vols. What's the spread?
6. You're getting 6.
Okay.
6.
Yeah, Missouri's a 6-point favorite. Yowzer.
Give me Missouri. They got that high-flying offense, and if they get into a shootout, Tennessee can't keep up. But, 6. Oh, man, okay.
Well, I think Tennessee is feeling good about it itself. Missouri's been terrible on the road, although they did go win at Florida. But Tennessee wins this game, and they're bowl eligible, which would be quite an accomplishment for them under Jeremy Pruitt in his first season. So I say the Vols win outright and at least cover the 6. Saturday night on West End, Vanderbilt is a favorite in the SEC. They were a favorite at Arkansas, too. They're a 3-point favorite over Ole Miss. Saturday night, Vanderbilt -3.
Wow, Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'm going to take Vanderbilt because I'm a homer.
There you go. Do I even need to ask you about the Titans or MTSU? I already write those. Tried to sell tickets. That would be Scott Hamilton.
I'm a homer.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
Anchor down.
I'm with Scott. I think Vandy does it. Their backs are against the wall. They're 4-6. They need 2 wins to get bowl eligible, and it starts tomorrow against Ole Miss, who has had a couple of tough losses in the end, and I think Vanderbilt plays well and their backs against the wall.
Man, Ole Miss can score a lot of points, and Vandy can give up a lot of points. I think I got to go with Ole Miss plus the points. I hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong, but it proves I'm not a homer. All right, and Kentucky is a 16-point favorite over MTSU. Middle Tennessee at Lexington, 16 points. Wow.
I like Kentucky this year. I really do. I think that they've got a lot of intensity, a lot of passion. They feel like they believe it. They believe it this year more than any other. So even with the points, I'll take Kentucky.
I got to go with Mr. Hamilton. I think Kentucky works out some frustrations. They've lost that two straight after starting out, 6-0 or 7-0, whatever they were. And I think they get it done. I love middle, but I just don't.
Now, to use your own line on you that you use on me all the time, why do you hate MTSU? He does it to me all the time. Because you went to school there, maybe?
Correct.
And my daughter went to school there. 16 points, though?
That's a lot. That is a lot.
Brent Stockstill?
Kentucky's frustrated. They're going to work some things out.
You know what? Kentucky wins a game. They lose a game. They're going to the same bowl game.
Here's the deal. All right? So, Kentucky, MTSU played Vandy.
Uh-huh.
They did terrible. MTSU played Georgia. They did terrible. Uh-huh. Kentucky's the same football team. When we get Brent Stockstill's face, it's tough. They're going to go at him.
Kentucky did terrible against Georgia. Okay.
Not really. 31-17.
Nah,
just pick your thing. Get it done.
Break it up, you guys. Break it up.
I'm going to go with middle to hang.
Okay.
Plus the 16.
Okay.
All right. And the Colts are 3-point favorites over the Titans. Andrew Luck didn't play against them last year, and so the Titans beat him twice. He's 9-0 as a starter against the Titans, but the Titans are getting 3 Sunday.
I love the Titans. And yeah. I'm not being a homer this time. I'm saying the Titans, you know, when they put the beat down on New England the way they did, I became a believer. I really think that, you know, the Colts, when Peyton Manning was with the Colts, it was always kind of like, you know, what's going to happen? And there was a great rivalry, right? But you know, I love Andrew Luck. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a great citizen. I really love what the Titans are doing right now.
I know which way he's going. Go, Joe.
I go with the Colts because stop it. I just think the Colts are playing great. They scoring point, averaging 35 points the last 3 games, putting it all together. They're at home. They're a game behind the Titans. It all works out for the Colts.
I think reality sets in with that defense. Indy's defense is bad. Andrew Luck, yes, is back, getting back to where he was. He
okay,
doesn't have the weapons. So
where are you going here?
Yeah,
you're going both sides. Where are we going?
I'll give you my pick when I get ready.
I like this.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
I think the Titans have played 3 very good games in a row. Going back to London and San Diego, they should have beat a really good Chargers team. They blow out Dallas. They blow out the Patriots. I think this team is playing for real. I don't think they're going to have that hangover like they did after the Eagles win. I think they go up there and take care of business. You know why? They're the better team.
You are such
a homer?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Scott Hamilton suck-up. All right, we need to take one quick break and be back and spend the last few moments, obviously, talking about Scott's big event Sunday night. Nashville Sports Radio.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show. Call now. 615-844-5600 to be a part of whatever this is.
Usually it's a train wreck, but not today. The Southern Steak and Oyster. Scott Hamilton has been our guest, picking with the Pickers, presented by Pickers Vodka and Landmark Bank. The 3rd annual Scott Hamilton Friends Nashville Ice Show, benefiting the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation. Sunday, 5 o'clock, Bridgestone Arena. The co-host, Cheryl Crow and Christy Yamaguchi.
Yeah, Christy's coming in to help me out. Some of the heavy lifting. Christy is one of the most philanthropic, community-driven athletes I've ever known. You know, first thing she did when she turned professional after she won the gold medal in 1992 was start a foundation, and she built playgrounds for children, you know, handicapped children. She's doing now a literacy program to build literacy in her community, especially in high-risk areas. And she's just a phenomenal person. But you know, Cheryl Crow. I've seen Cheryl just give and give and give and give. She really cares about her community. She cares about, you know, the world we live in, and she's a cancer survivor. And man, there's no better partner to have in this endeavor than Cheryl Crow. She's, oof, man, I just absolutely adore her.
The third annual, and the emphasis on the annual, yeah, that means there's a fourth and a fifth.
We hope, you know, yeah, we want to sell a lot of tickets. We price the tickets to sell, so it's not like, you know, it's outrageous or we put it out of reach. It's a really, it's a family-driven event. You know, we always create something that everyone can enjoy equally. It's not just, you know, for adults that the children can endure, or a children's show that the adults can endure. It's really, truly something that is accessible to everyone because of its spectacular nature, and the music is great, and we really work with the artists to pick great songs, and it's really unbelievable. The fact that we got Florida Georgia Line, Brothers Osborne, you know, Tommy Shaw. I mean, I grew up listening to Tommy Shaw. I know exactly where I was right when I heard Too Much Time on My Hands for the very first time.
Because you had too much time on your hands.
I was on tour in Montreal, and I had too much time on my hands. But, you know, it's just like to be able to work with my heroes.
Yeah.
You know,
Steve Cropper, obviously.
When I survived cancer, I'm sitting on, you know, I moved to L.A., you know, I had this, I bought this house, and it was on a lake in Lake Sherwood, and I had this little electric boat, and I just sat on the electric boat, and I remember the year Come On, Come On came out, Sheryl Crow. I wore that CD out, just to sit on my boat and just enjoy the weather and just relax and try to heal. But, you know, it's just to be able to share this show with her. And then all these artists coming in, and Cropper. I mean, there's no one more respected in the music industry than Steve Cropper. I went to the BMI recognition thing for the Icon Award that he got the other night, and it was a love fest for Cropper. I mean, he's just the best guy, you know. And he's with you guys all the time. Yeah. He's just the best guy ever.
Scott, thanks for coming down. You're always welcome. I mean, it doesn't have to be this time of the year, but, you know, and thanks to Casey. What a great job she does for you and at 777 Promotions.
She's working right now.
Yeah, I can tell. She's just over
working the phones.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. I mean, I really appreciate this. And again, this is cancer, something that touches us all profoundly, and we need to make a difference. And the best way to do it is to let's lift up the signs that are going to change it forever.
Third annual Scott Hamilton Friends Nashville Ice Show, benefiting the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation, Sunday, 5 o'clock, Bridgestone Arena. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Hey, we've got another hour of this. It's like brown socks with a tux.
Been there, done that.